So I would like to welcome all of you to the third session of ours in the discussion on the journey of self-discovery, the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. In the last 2 days, we've been discussing about the importance of human life, how truly it is meant for solving the real problems of life, birth, old age, disease and death, miseries caused by body and mind, other living entities and natural disturbances, and how mere technological advancement in and of itself has not been able to address these issues, and therefore the need to question about the root cause of all suffering and the destination of life. Yesterday we discussed about how do we approach the cause of all causes. There are different ways of acquiring knowledge. Knowledge of the ultimate cause of all causes, source of everything, the supreme controller, the proprietor and the enjoyer. And how the knowledge acquired through direct sense perception, pratyaksha pramana, and anuman through inference has some limitations, and therefore the need to access this knowledge through shabda pramana. That means hearing through the word of authorities. But the authorities in this world, we find, have changed their opinion over a period of time, has not been consistent, and many a time have been proved to be false. But when we refer to the scriptures, the Vedas, which are original and infallible, coming from the Creator Himself, being an axiomatic truth, they have stood the test of time. We discussed that yesterday, how all the predictions have come true and how all the statements have actually been confirmed through modern science more and more. And there are so many other facts which are explained, which are not yet confirmed by the modern science as yet. We did all this exercise because we want to know solution to our problems. And to solve the problems, we need to have an understanding of the Creator. Behind this creation, if there is a hand of a Creator, we want to know who that person is, so that we can catch him and ask him, why did you make this world with so many defects? And why don't you set it right? That is the whole idea, to inquire. Janmadhyasya yataha, that is the second Vedanta Sutra. The cause and the source of everything is the cause of creation, maintenance and destruction. So today we'll be discussing a very crucial question. Who is this? First of all, does he really exist? But we discussed yesterday, he must exist because creation implies a creator, laws imply a lawmaker. And therefore the next question is, who is that entity? So now, from today onwards, what I am going to speak will be just quoting as it is from the Gita. We established yesterday why we need to have an understanding of scriptures, how they have been the authority, how they have stood the test of time, how they are infallible. And now taking that source as the authority, now what those scriptures, the conclusion of which the Vedanta Upanishads and the essence of those Upanishads, if the Upanishadic cow is churned and milked, that milk, nectarian milk, is compared to the Bhagavad Gita. So what does Gita, the essence of Vedic literatures, have to say about who's God? So you all have to be prepared now to make a big leap of faith. So far we address to our logical sense, scientific sense. It's not that spirituality is not a science, but then it is a subtle science. Psychology is a science. You don't measure it. You can't measure the mind. There is another way of measuring. There is another dimension. Similarly, the subtlest of all sciences is a spiritual science. It is very logical, it is scientific, but the units of measurement are different. And so therefore, please tighten your seatbelt. We're going to jump, make a big leap. If you are all ready, we'll go ahead. This is the million-dollar question, especially in India. One God or many gods? I remember when I was in primary school, I suppose, fifth or sixth, I had a Christian friend named Joseph, very dynamic, very jovial, tremendous sense of humor. And I remember one time he told me a story which kind of confused me and set me looking for answer. It was just a joke. He said one time on a top of a building, three people were standing. One was a Muslim, one was a Hindu, and one was a Christian. And the building caught on fire. Multi-story building. And so the Muslim gentleman jumped and he said, "Allah, please save me." And Allah came and saved him. And then the Christian jumped and he said, "Oh Jesus, please save me." And Jesus came and saved him. And then the Hindu gentleman jumped. And he was taking out all the names of all the gods that he knew. And each one thought the other one will go. No one came. And he crashed his head. Basically, he just said, "Aap logon ka kitna bhagwan hai?" And that was kind of, it confused me, and then I asked, I was desperately seeking a satisfactory answer to this question. And I got a satisfactory, really convincing answer only when I read the commentary on the Bhagavad Gita by Swami Prabhupada, specifically Bhagavad Gita as it is. And that immediately clicked. Wow, I wish I could meet my friend wherever he is and tell him, "Hey, today I have an answer." So this is also a very puzzling kind of question which puts our own faith. We start questioning our own tradition, our own faith. We have become so alienated from our own culture and tradition because it has not been systematically, logically, and scientifically presented. Therefore, we can't defend it, even though it is so scientific and so advanced, truly speaking. Not being biased or being coming from the same tradition, but a very objective look at it, very scientific look at it, proves that this has been so very scientific. So we'll be discussing this. If there is a God, actually, as any other bona fide religion, the Vedic tradition also believes that there is only one God. Eko Brahma Dvitiya Nasti. The Supreme Lord is only one. There are no two gods. We are monotheistic, not polytheistic. Then how is it that we have so many gods to worship? This is a very important question to understand. And those who take shelter of the Vedic literature, especially the Gita, which is the essence of the Upanishads, these things become very clear. And we can appreciate much more better the tradition that we are following within this land. So, if you're already in the mood, that God, what we defined yesterday as the cause of all causes, the source of everything, the supreme controller, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme enjoyer, is none other than the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, we said, God, to be God, must be the cause of all causes, the source of everything which has no other source. Cause of every all causes who has no other cause. In the 10th chapter, 8th verse of the Bhagavad Gita, it is very clearly said, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanvita. Aham sarvasya prabhava, I am the source of everything that exists. Mattaha sarvam pravartate, everything emanates from me. Iti matva, with this understanding, bhajante maam, those who worship me, Krishna says, buddha, they are very intelligent, and bhava samanvitaha, they shall achieve the ultimate perfection of life. I am also writing the chapter and the verse number references so that you may know that I am not speaking from my hat and I am not speaking any speculation. We also discussed how the supreme proprietor, controller and enjoyer, that is the position of God with a capital G. In the 5th chapter, 29th verse, Lord Krishna is giving the peace formula. He said, who can become peaceful in this world? Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvalokam maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam jyatvamam shantimrichyati. We will be giving the references of this particular. Has it been given to you today? Oh, this is the first day? The third day is also there. Third day is there? Yeah. The references are available. You may not, need not write that. So, Bhoktaram, he is the supreme enjoyer. Sarvalokam Maheshwaram. Ishwara means controller. Maheshwaram means the supreme controller. And in addition, Suhridam Sarvabhutana, I am the well-wishing friend of every living entity. Sarvasitaham Hridi Sannivesho. The Lord is seated within the heart of every living entity as Paramatma. He gives us remembrance. He gives us forgetfulness. He gives us knowledge according to what we desire. So it is He who gives us remembrance of whatever we need to understand to achieve the perfection. He is Bhagavan. It's very interesting. In the Bhagavad Gita, which is a part of Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita is 700 verses consisting of 18 chapters, which comes in the Bhishma Parva of Mahabharata. Mahabharata has 1 lakh verses approximately, of which in the Bhishma Parva, just before the battle of Kurukshetra is begun, this Bhagavad Gita comes. And when Sanjaya speaks, the secretary of Dhritarashtra, it is said, Sanjaya Uvacha, Sanjaya spoke. When Arjuna speaks, it says, Arjuna Uvacha. When Dhritarashtra speaks, Dhritarashtra Uvacha, Dhritarashtra spoke. But when Krishna speaks, it doesn't say Krishna Uvacha. It says Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. What does that mean? It is to indicate who is the speaker. That makes the words valuable. If someone says Narendra Uvacha, nobody will take it seriously. But if you say the Prime Minister Uvacha, then there is going to be substance. Because if he is a man with power, when he speaks, things do happen. So similarly, Vyasa, the compiler of the whole Mahabharata, is emphasizing who is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. In fact, the word Bhagavad Gita, it is a song sung by the Lord, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, this is so important. It is the scripture for those who are the followers of Vedic literature. Why it is considered? Though it is just a part of Mahabharata. Mahabharata may not be considered. Gita specifically is considered the crest jewel of all conclusion of scriptures. Because who is speaking? Bhagavan Uvacha. Now what does that word Bhagavan mean? Vaan means one who possesses. Vidwan, Balavan, Gunavan. So Vaan means one who possesses. And Bhaga means all the opulences. And anyone who possesses all the opulences to an unlimited degree is considered Bhagavan. It is described there are prominently six opulences. And anyone who has even a bit of these six opulences, Aishwarya, is considered to be very attractive to the people at large. And what are the six opulences? Aishwaryasya, samagrasya, viryasya, yashasya, shriyaha, jnana, vairagya, yoschaiva, shannam, bhaga, itingana. There are six opulences. And anyone who has a tiny bit of this becomes very attractive to the eyes of everyone. The first is wealth. Anyone is extremely wealthy, he becomes attractive. Everyone wants to be connected to that person. Everyone wants to have some relation. Viryasya, one who is extremely powerful. Yashaha, one who is extremely famous. Shriyaha, one who is extremely beautiful. Jnana, extremely knowledgeable. People are attracted to people with knowledge. Ask them any question and they have an answer. People become attracted. Powerful scientists, they seem to know practically everything. At least in that particular field. And vairagya, extreme renunciation. People are attracted to anyone who demonstrates any one of these qualities. What to speak of all the six? But no one can claim to possess all the wealth, all the fame. One may be famous in a particular field, the other people in the other field may not even know him. Who is the most famous scientist in Africa? Probably we don't know. But people in the scientific field may know. So somebody may be extremely wealthy. Nobody can be said, he's all wealthy. Somebody may be very powerful. One time, Cassius Clay was the world boxing champion. There used to be songs about him. Catch me if you can. Who flits like a butterfly and stings like a bee. Eventually, he developed Parkinson's disease. He just couldn't walk. And I think one of the Olympic Games, when he was supposed to light the torch, somebody had to help him because he just couldn't even lift the torch. At one time, world boxing champion, he just couldn't manage his own body himself. And that is the time he surrendered to the Lord. So, nobody can claim to have all the power, all the wealth, all the fame. Sometimes the most famous people become infamous. Found out caught for match fixing, and the same cricketer becomes the most infamous. Caught for some scam or something. But God by definition is Bhagavan because he is all wealth. In fact, everything in this creation is owned by him. Aishwaryasya, Viryasya. He is extremely powerful. There is no power in the world which can actually defeat him. Ultimately, he stands above everyone else. Yasha, he is the most famous even amongst the atheists whose goal of life is to prove his non-existence. Everyone talks about him. The theists talked about him and the atheists also, whole life, they're talking about him. though in a negative way. So he's famous. Shriya, he is the most beautiful. God is the most beautiful person. What is the proof? Anyone who is attracted to him, we see in all the great saintly people in this creation, whoever has been attracted to him, there is nothing in this creation which can attract them more than God. They were so, that taste, the one who is attracted by the beauty of the Lord cannot be bewildered by any other beauty of this world. This is the proof that God is most beautiful. Shriya, Jnana, and he is extremely knowledgeable. What is the proof? Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago. In fact, he says, I spoke it to the sun god 40 millions of years ago. The same Gita. And till today, there is not one amendment made. Krishna said, oh sorry, last time when I spoke this, this verse should read like this. Because of the recent information we have got from scientific advancement, the Gita's 3rd chapter, 4th verse should read this instead of this. We make some laws. The laws of, you know, so many in India. So every other day there are some amendments to the law. But the Gita was spoken thousands of years ago. Even today, not one statement of it has been proved false. And it is not that Krishna was memorizing it the previous night. Tomorrow I have to deliver the lecture to Arjun. Dharma Kshetre, Guru Kshetre, Samaveda. Not that even Krishna was sitting in the bedroom and memorizing the next verse. Offhand he just spoke the Gita. And even today, the wisest of people have yet been able to appreciate the expanse and the depth of the wisdom contained in these few verses. There is no limit to the wisdom contained in this shoreless and bottomless ocean of wisdom called the Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna just sung it. It is a song. It's not that he was giving a, you know, very philosophical lecture. He just sang it. Can you imagine? You sing a song and it is famous for next 5,000 years. That's God. Whatever he does, perfect. Because he's perfect, whatever he does is perfect. So Jnana. And Vairagya. He created this whole world, but he's totally aloof. He doesn't interfere. Sometimes we create something, we become so attached. We get extremely disturbed if things don't go our way. Especially if we have created something. Right? We want to take full control. Udaseena vat aseenam. Even though he's concerned, he's completely aloof. He doesn't interfere with our independence. He's so renounced. We cannot find anyone who can say to possess any of the six opulences to an unlimited degree. But God possesses all the six opulences to an unlimited degree. Nobody can claim to possess this eternally. But God possesses this eternally. All the six opulences to an unlimited degree eternally. That is why he is called Bhagavan. Then the question is, where did he come from? In this world, everything has a source, everything has a beginning, everything has a cause. And therefore Krishna says it very clearly. Sarva karana karanam. I am the cause of all causes who has no other cause. That is why he is God. If he had a cause, that cause would be God. God by definition means is the cause of all causes. And therefore there is no one equal to him or above him. That's what he expresses in the 7th chapter, 7th verse. Mattah parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya mai sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva. As a pearl necklace is there because the string is holding the pearls together. As a necklace can't be together unless there is a string that holds the pearls together. Similarly, it is God who holds everything together. He is the binding force. How is it that the electron, the proton, the neutron are binding to become an atom? What is it that binds the atomic particles to form a molecule? What is it that holds them together to form a particular ingredient? What is it that holds the planets together? We may call it gravitational force. Who created it? Who's manipulating it? How is a cell working the way it is working? Go to essence of anything. It's simply amazing how the natural laws are working so perfectly. When someone hears Krishna and God, little difficult to digest. I've heard this man was born, 93 kilometers southeast of Delhi, in a village called Vrindavan. He was just a cowherd boy. And you call him God, cause of all causes, the source of everything, the controller, proprietor, enjoyer. Isn't that a little too much? Is God a person, or is he the all-pervading? Because it is said that there is no place that God doesn't exist. He is omniscient, he is omnipotent, he is all-pervading. So how can someone be all-pervading and yet be a person? Isn't it? If I say I am all-pervading, but I am sitting in one place. This is described in the 9th chapter, 4th and 5th verse. Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo, mattah maya tatamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina masthani sarvabhutani nachaham keshavasthita. He says, I am spread all over this creation by my energy. Just as fire is situated in one place but spread its light and fire, heat, it is spread all over the, in all the directions. The sun is in one place, but through the sun rays, through heat and light, the sun is all pervading. Similarly, the Lord through his energy is pervading all over this creation. But if a person pervades all over, how can he be an individual? This is very difficult. In most of the other religion, they cannot conceive of the form of God. For them, God is a distant reality. It is only in the Vedic literature that three aspects of God are given. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti shabdyate. There are three stages of understanding God. The first is the impersonal, all-pervading aspect of God. Nirguna, Nirakar, Nirvishesha, Sarvavyapi, Brahma. The all-pervading, impersonal God, which is the impersonal aspect. Then Paramatma, the same all-pervading Lord, is seated in the heart of every living entity. Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastha. Within the universe, within every cosmic atomic particle, he is situated. And simultaneously, he is a person like you and me. You and me doesn't mean limited person, but he has a form. How can God not have a form like you and me? We, his children, have a form, and our father has no form. Does that sound logical? We are created by Him, and we have beautiful eyes, ears, a beautiful body, and our Creator doesn't have. How can the created have something that the Creator doesn't have? But the moment we impose personality on God, He becomes limited. That is our understanding. Therefore, it is said that God has a form, but not like your form and my form. Our form is very limited, and it is material. It's going to grow old, get diseased, and die. But God has a spiritual form, eternal, full of knowledge and blissful. It is said, one time I went into a Christian orphanage, St. Catherine's School of Siena for Destitute Children, Mount Mary, Bandra. They had invited me for some function there. And a little girl, fourth standard, maybe 8 or 9 year old girl came, and she spoke the thought for the day. I'll never forget it. Very profound statement. I don't know whether she realized what she was speaking. She said, "A black ant on a black rock in a dark night. No one sees, but God sees." If God sees everything, everywhere, in all situations, does He not have eyes? We cry out to God and pray to Him. If you are praying to Him, how can He hear if He doesn't have ears? Who are we crying our prayers to? We offer something with love, He accepts. That means He has hands. When we cry for help, He helps. That means He has legs, He comes running. He loves us. Love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. We love God because He loves us. In fact, before even we loved Him, He loved us. If He loves, doesn't He have a heart? Otherwise, it would mean a heartless God. But then, the moment we say He has eyes and ears and nose and legs and hands, because of our own material conception, they say, "Na mulla ki daud masjid tak." Because of our limited intelligence, material intelligence, we try to impose our type of personality on God. No, He has a form, but not like you and me. He has a spiritual form. His eyes can see everything, everywhere, in all circumstances. His ears can hear anyone crying out sincerely with full faith. His heart can experience the love of any living entity throughout the creation. His hands can reach out and accept the loving offerings of His devotees made anywhere in this creation. So yes, God has a form. Not a limited form like you and me. He has a spiritual form, which must be realized, not seen through the gross material eyes, but seen through the eye of love. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayam. Now the $1 million question. If you say Krishna is God, what about the millions of other gods that we have? How do we understand that? So this is a very important discussion that we are beginning. Now, there is a difference between two words we need to understand, Bhagavan and Devata. God with a capital G, as regards Devatas or demigods. Demigod means a devata. It is not dummy god. One person was extremely upset. "What do you call dummy god?" I said, "No, not dummy. It is demi. It is not D-U-M-M-Y. It is D-E-M-I. semi-god, that means subordinate god. So the devatas and Bhagavan, there is a difference. And that is what we need to actually understand. That is what makes this culture and tradition so rich and so divine. In fact, we begin to appreciate it much better. We understand that behind every aspect of this creation, there is a person in charge. Earth, she is our mother, Mother Earth, Bhudevi. And therefore, every time we get up in the morning, we offer our respects to Mother Earth. It is not just a lump of clay. It's actually a personality who's overseeing. Just like the hospital is impersonal, but the people who run the show are people. The person, the director of the hospital is a person. Similarly, every planet, Chandra, Indra, Varuna, Vayu, Surya, they are devatas. They are subordinate personalities to the Lord who run the affairs of this universe. And they are very, very powerful personalities. We may not be able to understand as much as an ant walking across on this floor may not know my existence. But just because the ant cannot understand my existence, that doesn't mean I don't exist. Similarly, in another realm of existence, there are powerful personalities. And only through proper scriptural understanding can we get access to understand these people. So let us briefly discuss what is the difference between Devata and Bhagavan. So the Supreme Lord, God with a capital G, is only one. Eko Brahmaha Dvitiya Nasti. The Upanishad said, the Supreme is only one. There are no two of them. While the Devatas, there are many. In fact, there are 33 crore Devatas. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Whole. While the Devatas are His parts and parcels. In the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 15th verse, when Krishna shows to Arjun His Virata Swarupa, within that, Arjuna sees all the devatas in the whole creation within the body of the Lord. They are all His part and parcels. Pashyami devan stava deva dehe. Sarvan. Sarvan means all the devatas I see within you. Meaning that all the devatas are His limbs. Just like the Prime Minister has so many limbs in the form of ministers who execute His will through His land of control, area of control. Similarly, the Lord has many limbs and executes His action through them. Does He need them? Is He so incapable that without His limbs He can't function? No. He can manage on His own, He doesn't need any help. But He engages those who sincerely want to serve Him by giving them a position of control to run the affairs of this universe. So they are all His limbs, they are His parts and parcels. The Supreme Lord is the supremely worshipable object, while the Devatas always worship the Supreme as obedient, humble servants. All the Devatas are the humble servants of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful verse. Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha Stunmanti Divyaistavaihi Vedai Sangha Padakramo Panishadai Gayanti Yam Samagaha Dhyana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogino Yasyantam Navidusura Asuragana Devaya Tasmai Namaha. This beautiful prayer in the Bhagavatam, it explains Yam Brahma Varuna Indra Rudra Marutaha Stunvanti Divyaistavaihi. all these powerful demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, Varuna, Surya, all these personalities, Yam Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra, Stunvanti, they are Stavan, that means they are glorifying Divyai Stavaihi. Beautiful prayers. Vedai Sanga Padakramo Panishade Gayantiyam Samaga. All the Vedas, Riksama, Atharva, Yajurveda, they are singing glories of Him alone. Dhyana Avastita Tadgatena Manasa. All the yogis in the ultimate perfection of their samadhi see Him alone in the core of their hearts. And Yasyantam Navidu Sura Asura Gana. Demigods also are called Sura, and the demons are called Asura. So even the powerful demigods do not know the complete glory of that Supreme, Devaya Tasmai Namaha. To that Supreme, we offer our humble obeisances. In the Rig Veda, there is a beautiful verse, Tad Vishnoho Paramam Padam Sada Pasyanti Surayah. All the Suras, all the demigods, always look up to the beautiful lotus-like feet of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So the devatas may be many, they are all worshipable, but they, even those worshipable personalities, worship the supremely worshipable object, and that is the Supreme Lord, who is only one. Now, the Supreme Lord is the supreme creator, the ultimate creator of everyone. And everyone else, all the other devatas, are created by Him alone. That is described in the 10th chapter, 2nd verse. Aham Adirhi Devanam. I am the Adi. I am the source. In fact, the Lord is also called as Padmanabha. From His navel came the first created being in this universe, and that is Lord Brahma. And it is Brahma who created this whole creation. All the different species of life was created by Brahma, who emanated from the beautiful lotus coming from the navel of that Supreme Lord. Therefore, He is addressed as Padmanabha. Now, another very interesting information. The Supreme Lord is beyond this Brahmanda, beyond this material creation, cosmic creation. And all the other devatas are within this creation. Therefore, whenever very demoniac personalities, the asuras, take control of this creation and harass so many demigods headed by Indra, etc., all of them run to Lord Brahma. And even when Brahma cannot manage, he says, this is beyond my control. Sometimes state government can't manage. So they bring CPF, you know, what is that? BSF, Border Security Force, and Central Reserve Police, CRP. You know, sometimes there's Jagannath Rath Yatra. We go to Rath Yatra. So much crowded. Local police are beaten up by the local people. So they call all the CRP men, central government. So similarly, when the devatas also cannot manage, then they go to Brahma. Generally, Brahma manages. Even he cannot manage. They all go and stand in the ocean, Kshira Sagara, and then they pray to that Supreme Lord who is beyond this creation to descend into this material existence to solve the problem even of the devatas. And on the prayers of these devatas, the Lord says, all right, I shall descend apparently like a human being in this particular family. All of you come and assist me in my beautiful pastime. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya sadishkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati and abhyutthanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. The Lord descends. What does it mean to descend? Descend means he is beyond this realm of existence of this whole creation. That is why when the Lord descends, he is called an avatar. Bhagwan ka avatar hua, we say. We don't say devataon ka avatar hua. It is only the Supreme Lord who takes avatar. Ava means to descend and taran means to move around. He moves around as if one amongst us. Avajananti maam moodha. Fools deride the Lord when he comes and walks amongst us as if an ordinary person. But he is not ordinary. When Lord Ram descended, when Lord Krishna descended, they were misunderstood to be ordinary personalities. But their activities demonstrated that they were not ordinary. Whereas all the other devatas exist within this material creation. Now the Supreme Lord is the ultimate controller, while all the other devatas are delegated with various grades of power to manage the affairs of the universe. Just like you have so many ministers, the railway minister, and coal and mine minister, and sports ministry, this ministry. So each minister has a limited area of activity where he has full control, but he has no control over the other activities. But the prime minister can interfere anywhere and empower anyone and take out anyone and put anyone else. Similarly, something to that effect, the Lord is the supreme controller, while the devatas are delegated with various grades of power to manage the specific aspects of the affairs of the universe. There is an energy department, Surya. There is a water department, Varuna and Indra. There's a department of wind, right? So there are so many other, the finance ministry, defense ministry, education ministry, most of them are females. That is bona fide, so many ministers here. Lakshmi, Saraswati and Durga Devi, she is defense minister. So we have so many powerful personalities who are delegated with various affairs to manage the affairs of the universe. The Lord is supremely independent. No one can order him to just do. He is not bound by the laws of this world. But all the powerful personalities within this creation, they are all bound by certain laws made by him. Only he is beyond these laws of nature. But everyone else are subordinate to the will of the Supreme. Another very interesting thing, you will never see the Supreme Lord having mustache and beard. He is ever youthful. When he comes into this world, he doesn't grow old, get diseased and die. He just appears. That's why he's called avatar. He just descends, performs his pastimes and leaves. He doesn't grow old or get diseased or die like any one of us. That's another. You'll never see a picture of Krishna with a walking stick or, you know, with mustache and beard growing old. He is Adyam Purana Purusham. He is the oldest person, but Navayauvanamcha. He is ever youthful. He never grows old beyond 16 years. Fresh, youthful. That's it. He's always like that. Proving that the laws of this world don't hold for him. But the other powerful personalities, they have a body, they have a lifespan. Did you know that? These powerful devatas, they may live for, practically speaking, millions of years. From our point of view, they are practically eternal. But even they have a lifespan which runs into millions of years. In one day of Lord Brahma, 14 times the devatas change. Currently the devata who is managing the affairs of the sun planet is Vivaswan. That's his name. Surya is a post. Surya Dev is Vivaswan. Indra is a post. Indra Dev right now is a person by name Purandara. Just like the Prime Minister is a post. Today it is occupied by someone. 5 years later it will be someone. 5 years ago it was someone else. Similarly, the post of the Devatas, Indra, Varuna, Yama, Yamraj, he was cursed by one particular Muni to come as Vidura. And at that time, his post was occupied by another person called Aryama. These are universal politics. We are busy with our politics. Of course, there are no elections held there. It's already decided who becomes the next Indra. Next Indra is going to be Bali Maharaj, who is now in the Sutala Loka. These are transcendental politics. Who is going to be occupying which post? And each of them occupy for 71 Mahayugas. This Yuga, what we are, Kali Yuga, the duration of Kali Yuga is 4,32,000 years. Before that was Dwapar Yuga, 8,64,000 years. Before that was Treta, 12,96,000 years. Before that was Satyuga, 17,28,000. So this is called one cycle. 17,28,000, 12,96,000, 8,64,000, 4,32,000. 43 lakhs of years make one Yuga cycle. Multiply it by 71 times. That is the duration of one devata occupying a particular post. 43 lakh into 71 solar years. This is how long each of the devatas, and then they change. So there is a bigger government up there. It's not chaotic as we think. God is completely beyond the influence of the three material modes. We get affected by Sattva, Raja and Tamoguna. Sometimes we find Indra affected by lusty desires. Right? Gautama Rishi is Ahalya. He wanted to abduct her. And eventually Gautama Rishi cursed him. Indra got cursed. So we find that these powerful demigods, sometimes, because of power, which is very intoxicating, even they become afflicted by pride, envy, etc. to some degree. Because their pride is not like our pride. Here, even a beggar is proud of his penny. But these are extremely powerful positions. Naturally, they sometimes get affected. And in the Puranas we read how devatas get afflicted, become proud, and the Lord removes their pride, humbles them. Because they are humble, beautiful, they are obedient servants, the Lord cannot tolerate pride in the heart of his devotees. So he just kind of humbles them very gently by teaching them a lesson. They get affected by Sattva and Rajaguna. But the Lord is Triguna Atita. He is beyond the three modes of nature. We will discuss these modes when we discuss why do bad things happen to good people the day after tomorrow. That we will discuss this. Law of karma and guna. We will discuss that more. But the devatas come under the influence of the three material modes to different degrees sometimes. They get angry. They sometimes feel very lusty. They feel very jealous. Not in a gross way as we do, but in a subtle way to some extent. And the scriptures are proof of that. Of course, through them the Lord teaches us, if such powerful personalities can become proud, how careful we should be not to become proud of our tiny powers that may be given by His blessings. The Lord is eternally the same, while the demigods are temporary posts. This is another thing. For us, practically, they are eternal. But even they have, it's a post. Indra is a post, Yama is a post, which is occupied by a particular devata. The devatas change, but the posts remain always. So these are some understanding about these powerful personalities, respectable personalities, but compared from the supreme personality of Godhead, they are subordinate to Him. Now, another question. Sometimes people have this idea that whether you worship Krishna, the Supreme Lord, or you worship the devatas, it's the same. There is no difference. But according to the Gita, the worship of the Supreme and the worship of the devatas, there is a difference. It is not giving the same result. Eventually it may give the same result, but with knowledge, if it is done, you think whether you worship this person or that person or him or Krishna or Ram or Ganesha or Durga, everything is same. But at least Gita does not subscribe to this view. The Vedic literature do not subscribe to this view. So we will discuss what is the difference between worshipping the devatas as regards worship of the Supreme Lord. It may sound a little bitter. It is described that worship of the demigods are considered less intelligent. I am not saying this, the Gita is saying it. In the 7th chapter, 23rd verse, Krishna says, Antavattu phalam tesham tad bhavati alpa medhasam. Alpa means less, and medhasa means brain, fund of knowledge. While the worshippers of the Supreme are considered udaradhihi, really intelligent. Why? If you test their IQ, maybe they have 120 IQ. So what does it mean when they say alpamedhasam? That is described. Because the benefits asked by them or benefits offered by the devatas are material and are temporary. While the benefit offered by the Supreme Lord are eternal and they never lost. For example, I go to the particular devata and I said, please my Lord, give me promotion. Allow me to pass my exam. Sometimes I see, even in our own temple, during March and April, a lot of students start coming. Sudden devotion comes up. Intense devotion and intense prayer. And as soon as final exams are over, vacation start. Vacation also coming to temple. And then just before the result day they come. Just to remind them, I had come, remember April 1st, I had come before the exam. Please remember and make sure that the results are as per my, you know, expectation and my prayers. It's good. Rather than not going to anyone, at least they are going to the right person. But this mentality is very of less intelligence, because they are asking something which is very temporary and fleeting. Why not ask for something that is eternally going to be with you, never can be taken away from you? That's good intelligence. So, it is described, one time there was a lady, old lady, and she was a woodcutter lady. She would go to the forest every day, cut wood, put it on her shoulder, come to the town, sell it, take the money, buy some foodstuff, cook and eat. This was her daily affair. Every day she would do this. And one day, as she was carrying the load of wood on her shoulder, suddenly the king of that land happened to visit. And he took compassion upon this old lady. And she said, "My dear lady, ask me for anything you want. I will give you half the kingdom if you want. Ask me, because I want to do something for you." And she looked at him, and you know what she asked? "This luggage on my shoulder is becoming very heavy. Please lift it and put it on my left shoulder." So the king picked up and put it. Is that good intelligence? At least she could have sold it to him. She could have asked for half the kingdom, and her seventh generation could have lived happily. But she said, "Lift it, becoming heavy on this shoulder, put it on this shoulder." Meaning, sometimes we ask for things which eventually become another burden for us. A real intelligent person asks for something that's eternal. One should ask for devotion to the Supreme. That's intelligence. That in any situation, I may continue to love you and serve you. The devatas cannot award you benediction without the sanction of the Lord, while the Supreme Lord is the ultimate benefactor. The Supreme Lord is the, in one sense, in our language, he is the manufacturer, and God, demigods are the agents. They have agencies for giving certain benedictions. And the sanctioning authority is the Supreme Lord. In fact, Lord Narsingadev came and chastised Lord Brahma for giving such kind of benedictions to Hiranyakashipu, who created havoc in the whole creation, terrorized the whole universe. So Lord chastised him, "Why did you give this kind of benediction?" So the demigods cannot give you award benedictions unless the Lord sanctions it. He is the ultimate sanctioner. What is the destination of those who worship the devatas as regards those who worship the Supreme? In the 9th chapter, 25th verse, Krishna says, "Yanti deva vrata devan, pitrin yanti pitru vrataha, bhutani yanti bhutejya, yanti madhya jino ki ma." Those who worship the devatas go to the planet of the devatas. Those who worship me come to my abode. Now, what is the difference between the abode of the devatas as regards abode of the Supreme Lord? The planet of the devatas are called Swarga Loka. Swarga meaning it is a material place, but it is millions of times more comfortable, enjoyable, and sophisticated than the best part of this planet. But it is a material place. While the Lord's abode is called Vaikuntha. Kuntha means anxiety. But when you go to the abode of the Lord, there is no anxiety there. Why? Because there is no old age, there is no disease, there is no death. But in Swargaloka, of course, there is no gross old age, but as soon as your punya exhausts, you come back. Swargaloka is like, you know, you go to a facility, you have, you know, what do you call, credit card. You go to a 5-star hotel and, you know, Lord, throw up the credit card and everything you get. It's like ATM. Enjoy as you want. The punya is like ATM, you know. You just press it and you get the money. That's punya. And kshire punya marthya loka. As soon as your punya gets exhausted, you come back. So even though you go to the heavenly planets, there is a danger, or there is a fear, there is anxiety that I may exhaust my pious credits and come down again back. Whereas once you achieve the supreme abode, which is beyond this creation, heavenly realm is a better realm, just like compared to Dharavi, you know, maybe some, which area of Bombay you say is the most posh locality? Walkeshwar area. Compare that to Dharavi. It's something like that. Material planet, Bhuvah Svah, Swargaloka is a higher realm of existence. Longer life, millions of times more enjoying, and you don't get problem if there is enjoyment. Here we eat too much, we get problem. But there you can enjoy and not get still a problem, gross problem. But then there is always anxiety of pious credit getting exhausted. But Vaikuntha means there is no question of old age, disease, death, you actually eternally stay there. So that is the difference between worshipping the Supreme Lord and worshipping the Devatas. Another thing, it is described in the Gita as avidhi purvakam. While surrendering to the Supreme Lord, sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Surrendering to the Supreme Lord is considered the best worship. While merely approaching the Devatas is considered improper worship. Why it is improper? Because suppose you have to pay some tax to the government, and the police wala comes and says you have not paid, and you take some money and pay it to him. Tu rakh le yaar, chup ho ja, tu bhi chup, main bhi chup. Actually, it is bribing. So similarly, without paying to the government, if you just separately pay to the demigod without understanding his connection with the government, the universal government of the Lord, then that is bribing. And therefore it is considered improper. Because all these devatas are actually servants of the Lord. They are working on behalf of the Lord. They are most worshipable personalities, but they should be seen as representatives of the Supreme Lord. When we see them as independent personalities, separate gods, independent gods, and we try to give them something, please them, then we become entangled as we get by bribing some government authorities without directly it reaching the government offices. The devatas can give you liberation from material difficulties, but only the Supreme Lord can liberate you from material world altogether and send you to Vaikuntha. Just like we may approach a devata and say, please liberate me from poverty, and they may give you money and liberate you from poverty. Liberate me from this particular disease that I am suffering. And it is a fact, they will liberate you. But if you say, liberate me from this cycle of birth and death, I want to go back to the spiritual world. Boss ke paas jaake puchho. Upar se sanction aana chahiye. So the liberation from material existence, bhav sagar ko paar karna hai. So you have to surrender to the Supreme Lord. But if you want to cross over your sufferings in this world, then you can approach the devatas and they can help you. Another difference, the devatas give you what you want, but the Supreme Lord gives you what you need. There is a difference. Most of the time what we want is not what we need, and what we need is not what we want. But they are forced to give you what you want if you perform the required austerity. Devatas are like shopkeepers and God is like father. Even if a child goes to the shopkeeper, pays some money and says, uncle, I want 555 cigarette. it may not be good for the child, but if he pays the price, the shopkeeper has to give, because he has paid the price. Similarly, if you approach the devatas and pay the required price in terms of some austerity, japa, vrata, tapa, they give you what you want, whatever you want, whether it is good for you or not. If you want it, they give you what you want. But if you go to the Supreme Lord, if the same child goes to the father and gives the money and says, Papa, give me 555, he's going to take that money and slap him 555 times probably. You rascal, isliye paisa diya tujhe. So that is why the devatas, I mean, that is why the demoniac people never approach the Supreme Lord. They generally approach devatas, whether it is Ravana, whether it is Hiranyakashipu. They approach Brahma. Give me this benediction. Ratko nahi marunga, subah nahi marunga, andar nahi marunga, bahar nahi marunga. All kinds of insurance policies. And the Supreme Lord took out a new policy for which he had not paid up. He appeared in a particular form that this fellow had not paid the premium. So, generally that's why the demoniac people generally approach the devatas. All these asuras, if you see, they generally approach. Why? They know. They are, if you do the required tapasya, they are forced to give you what you want. And they are like the stubborn children. Mummy, I want this. Mummy, I want it. Mummy, mummy. Yeah. Rolling in the mud, kicking hands and like, kha. Sometimes the parents, ja, kha, mar. It's not good for you. No, I want it, I want it. Thikai, kha. So sometimes the demoniac people, they approach these devatas. They don't please the devatas. They harass them. One fellow was there. He was cutting his hands and legs and putting in the fire. Devakini, Devakini, stubborn. And eventually the Lord said, kya chahiye tereko bol? Kyun itna dimag kha raha hai? What do you want? Whoever head I keep my hand on, he should bhasm ho jaya. This is the nature. The person who feeds you, they want to bite. They create terror in those demigods also, after taking benediction from them. And therefore, when they are so smart, they will never approach the Supreme Lord. Because the Supreme Lord, tu karodo janam karle kuch nahi milne wala, thappad milega bas. Therefore, they never approach the Supreme Lord. They are enough intelligence, perverted intelligence. So therefore, the devatas give you what you want, but the Supreme Lord gives you only what you need. And therefore, it is not easy. Sometimes he tests you. He makes you deserving to appreciate what he is giving, and then he gives you. Therefore, sometimes the Supreme Lord's benedictions are delayed a little, while the demigods are time-bound. Shadbir maasya phalam labhet. You know, sometimes the devata worship is, if you do for 8 weeks, you get this. If you do for 12 weeks, you get this. If you do for 40 days, you get this. And Supreme Lord, कुछ गारंटी नहीं कब मिलेगा क्यों प्रेम से करोगे तो मिलेगा सो देयर इज अ डिफरेंस दिस मस्ट बी अंडरस्टूड द वर्शिप ऑफ द देवतास जनरली बिकम्स अ मटेरियल एक्टिविटी बेसिकली फॉर मटेरियल बेनिफिट्स व्हाइल द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड्स वर्शिप ट्रूली डन विद लव इज एक्चुअली स्पिरिचुअल एंड दिस वी मस्ट अंडरस्टैंड. Now, generally when I end here, invariably there are so many questions after this particular lecture. Therefore, after hearing to all the questions, I have summarized in 3 important questions. The first time some people hear this question, then they come out with, kya, ab tak jisko hum puja kar rahe the, theek nahi hai, gadbadi hai, sab barbaad gaya. क्या हम लेस इंटेलिजेंट हैं अरे हमारा रिपोर्ट देखो जस्ट सी आई हैव गॉट 160 IQ एंड यू कॉल मी लेस इंटेलिजेंट समटाइम्स पीपल गेट रियली डिस्टर्ब सो Please, before you get, you may get angry and walk out, please listen to the rest of the presentation. Generally, there are three very typical questions, frequently asked questions, after hearing this particular lecture. The first question is, if the Supreme Lord's worship is the best and demigod worship is really not what is highly recommended, then why did the scriptures recommend? Why did God create all this? Why can't he just have simple worship? In other religion, there is no doubt. La ilaha illallah. Finish. There's one supreme. Finish. That's it. Right? In the Christian religion, Jesus is the only way. Finish. That's it. How do we understand why Krishna is recommending so many worship of the devatas? Why did he do this at all in the first place? Created so much confusion, so much of, sometimes because of lack of understanding, so much of difference of opinion and infighting also. I am better, you are better, this is better, that is better. Why did he create all this? He could have also said, only me, nothing else. But this is, really must be understood through proper sources. Without a guru, when we understand Vedas, it becomes chaotic and confusing. Therefore, if you understand the Veda, you must need a proper guru. Why does the Lord recommend worship of the devatas in the scriptures? The answer is, if the goal of education is PhD, why have primary education? Why have secondary education? Why have pre-university? Why have graduation? Why have post-graduation? Directly put that, PhD level directly? No. There will be different levels of people. And therefore, to elevate them, there are different levels of worship. We will discuss that the day after tomorrow, when we discuss the three modes of nature, Sattva, Raja and Tamoguna. In no other scriptures of the world will you find such a refined, gradual, systematic, all-encompassing worship as recommended in the Vedic literatures. It is not that because I follow and am speaking like this. Very objectively and scientifically speaking, nowhere else you will find the Sattva, Raja and Tamoguna. Nowhere else will you find the conception of Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. And therefore it is so systematically designed. As I said, through this you see divinity everywhere. It's not that only God and everything is material. No. The whole conception, if you see the followers of Vedic literature, earth, before digging the ground for making your house on this earth, there is Bhumi Puja. You beg Mother Earth that I am going to hurt you, dig you, just because I want to, have a facility. It's like Mother's lap. So you see divinity everywhere, expansion of God's energy everywhere. This is why, if you touch a chair with your feet, oh, you say, this is the energy of the Lord. Even a driver, he comes and sits in the steering wheel, he just presses and he puts it to his head, which is that this is the energy of the Lord that I am using in the service for my maintenance, but this is my service. It is such a wonderful consciousness. It doesn't matter whatever level of a person, however degraded the consciousness is, there is accommodation from the KG to PhD. Every level is accommodated. It is not that one looks down upon the other. It's not that a PhD level looks at a KG fellow and says, ABCD padra abhi tak. No. We encourage every level to come up according to their performance and move ahead. So, Just like, I'll give you another example. If a child has malaria and he has to be given a medicine which is extremely bitter, quinine. Now, if the mother says, beta, open your mouth, this is the most bitter medicine, khol le beta mukh khol, you think the little child, mummy, ah, I love you, say, I don't want it, I don't want it. What does the mother do? She coats the medicine with a sugar coating and she says, beta, open your mouth, this is a sweet for you, toffee, chocolate, open your mouth, ah, khaliya. It goes inside, the coating goes and acts like the medicine. Similarly, most of us are so much focused on getting some instant material benefit. So the Lord says, all right, you go to this person, you get instant benefit within 8 weeks. And then your faith is created in a higher power. Gradually, you get what you want. But you develop faith in some higher personality. But the worship of those personalities, all the devata worship, is created in such a way that indirectly you are taking the medicine of chanting the name of the Supreme Lord, which is the real medicine, and gradually elevates you to a higher platform. For example, in Maharashtra, very common is the worship of Lord Ganesh, right? Now, if you see the Ganapati Stotra, my father had taught me, you know, this Dwadash Nama Stotra. Pranamya Sharasadevam Gauri Putram Vinakam Bhaktavasam. Ayuhu Kama Artha Siddhe. It says, if you want, Ayu, Kama, Artha, whatever your desire, and some money, whatever, Siddhi Vinayak, you get Siddhi. You get what you want. Ayuhu Kama Artha Siddhaye. You get what you want. So 12 names are there. Prathamam Vakratundam Chaikanam Tandushi Dhutiyakam Tritiyam Krishna Vingaksham Gajaukam Chatur Lambodaram Panchamancha Shastam Vikadamevacha Saptamam Vignarajam Cha Dhubravarnam Tathasam Namam Balachandram Cha Dashamantu Gajananam Ekadasham Dhanapatim Dwadashantu Gajananam Dwadasha Etani Namani. These 12 names of Lord Ganesha, Tri Sandhyam Yah Pathen Nara, 3 times a day. Sandhya. Sandhya means the meeting place of morning and night, that is early morning, and morning and afternoon in the form of noon, and evening and night meet at the time of sunset. So sunrise, noon and sunset are called Tri Sandhya. So Dwadasha Etani Namani. Anyone who reads these 12 names, Trisandhyamya, for 3 times in a day, Nacha Vighna Bhayam Tasya, all the obstacles of his path go away, Sarva Siddhi Karam Param, and he gets whatever he is wanting. Vidyarthi Labate Vidyam, Dhanarthi Labate Dhanam, Putrarthi Labate Putram, Mokshaarthi Labate Gatim. Whatever you want, you get. Japet Ganapati Stotram Shadbhir Maase Phalam Labate, 6 months you get the benefit. And Sambat Sarena Siddhincha Labate Natra. And if you do it for 1 year, you get the ultimate benefit. And believe me, this works. It works. Because right in front of you is a proof. I had no idea what this mantra is. I like to chant Sanskrit shlokas, and my father sent me this whole when I was in 12th standard of first BSc, and I was like a bathroom singer, just singing this. But I used to sing it morning, afternoon, evening. Exactly around a year later, on the day of Ganesh Chaturthi, right in front of Lord Ganesh, I happened to meet a devotee of the Lord Krishna, who actually inspired me to understand the Gita. And today I see it as it is Lord Ganesha's benefit that he has brought me. Because all these devatas, are actually servants of the Supreme Lord. And if we have devotion towards them, for whatever be the reason, for whatever, maybe very materialistic reason, or maybe immediate, instant benefit towards us, it may be with a selfish motive. But if we approach these personalities, who are all servants of the Supreme Lord, and if they see little dedication in us, they guide us to their worshipable Lord. So, all this demigod worship is designed in such a way that in the beginning and in the end, you have to chant the Supreme Lord's name. I was hearing, if you see the worship of Lord Ganesh, how does it begin? Any demigod worship begins with chanting the name of the Supreme Lord. Om Keshavaya Namah, Narayana Namah, Madhavaya Namah, Govindaya Namah. Apavitra pavitro va sarvavastangato viva yas marit pundarikaksham sa bahya bhyantara shuchihi Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. And then Vakratunda Mahakaya Suri Koti Samaprabha. Any worship of any devatas according to Vedic literature begins with the worship and remembrance of the Supreme Lord and ends with the worship of the Supreme Lord, the name of the Supreme Lord. It is very famous in Maharashtra. They sing this Ganapati Aarti, right? We are all aware. I was hearing, how does it end? The whole thing ends with Kayena Vacha Manasendriva Buddhya Manavana Sutta Sabhava Karomiyatiya Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayati Samarpayami. Kayena, by my body, Vacha, by my words, Manasa, by my mind, Indriyairva, by my senses, Buddhi, by my intelligence, Atmana, by myself, Anusruta Svabhava, according to my nature, Karomi Yad Yad, whatever I do 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, for the rest of my life, Karomi Yad Yad, Sakalam, everything, Parasmai, to the Lord who is beyond this creation, who? Narayana, iti samarpayam. And how do you offer it? Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. You don't even notice this part. But this is the real medicine that goes inside. But we are more quoting, we are interested in the sugar coating. Vidya tilavati vidyam, dhana tilavati dhanam. So, it has been designed in such a wonderful way that few things happen. By approaching any devata, you develop faith. You get what you want. Instantly you get what you want. Number two, you develop faith. There is a higher power. You may not understand the science of God, but you know that there is a higher power. At least there is some higher power there, which is the beginning of spiritual life. Faith. Faith is the beginning of spiritual life. I don't understand. My intelligence can't appreciate, but there is some higher power because I have experienced. I asked, I did some tapasya, and I got the benefit. A person becomes humble. His pride goes away. I am a self-made man. I realize it's only by His mercy. So you become humble, you develop faith, you get what you want, and gradually, even after you got what you want, you continue start worshipping that personality. If you get what you want, generally people go away. But if there is any gentleman, once having received some benefit, they start worshipping that Supreme, worshipping that personality. And by worshipping every day, according to the scriptures, you are taking the medicine. Because in the beginning and in the end, you chant the holy name of the Supreme Lord. That is the real medicine. So you get what you want, but indirectly, after that sugar coating is gone inside, the original medicine, which is the name of the Supreme Lord, actually becomes a part of your recitation daily. That is how the Vedic culture so beautifully accommodates everyone. There is no question of rejecting anyone. even if he's in a mode of ignorance, there is Kali worship. Even the Ghora Rupa, you know, very horrible form of, you know, with a naked body and tongue protruding out and, you know, hair, you know, completely scattered. She's taking a chopper and standing there, and you offer in the middle of the night and offer so kinds of other kinds of very tamasic kind of food. But still there is accepting a higher power. So there is no one that is rejected. Everyone is accepted and gradually allowed to move ahead according to their level. And one sees divinity everywhere. Nothing is material. Everything is spiritual. Even water. It is udaka. Before drinking water, there is a mantra that you chant. And thank the Lord for giving you something to nourish and quench your thirst. So this is the beauty. Unfortunately, if not understood, we become so ashamed that, yeah, we have so many gods and, you know, all that, I don't understand the stuff. Rather than appreciating the brilliance of the Lord and His compassion to reject no one but accommodate all levels of people. Here, my arms are open to embrace everyone. Whoever you are, how advanced, however advanced and elevated, or however degraded, there is a place for you too. No one can be rejected. It's not that my way or the highway. No in between. But there is gradual progress. So this is the reason why the worship of the devatas are recommended in the scriptures. The next question. Well, all these years I worship particular devata, and today I'm hearing from you, the Hare Krishna Walas, that devata worship, Bhagwan alag. And suppose by listening to you I give up that and come, will the demigod not become angry? Achha beta, aaj tak mera puja kiya, sab liya aur udhar jata hai. देख तेरा जीवन में क्या करूंगा. Will he not make my life miserable? Or someone who is more like a dignified person. Am I being unchaste? The person whom I worship so long and suddenly, आज हरे कृष्णा का सुन लिया उधर चला गया, ठीक है ठीक है, गद्दारी कर रहा है. इतने साल तक मेरा किया, मैंने तुझे क्या क्या दिया, भूल गया तू. Right? There may be a feeling. One lady asked me this question. I have been worshipping so and so for such a long time, and today you are telling Krishna's worship is the supreme. Please, I can't leave. Because they have done so much for me. I said, nonsense. How can you say like this? A gentleman will never forget anyone who has done anything. What to speak of forgetting this powerful personalities? I said, please remember, it is because of some sincerity in your heart that devata, pleased by your sincerity, has brought you here today to be introduced to their worshipable Lord. It is a fact. We are not being unchaste, but rather, it is the ultimate perfection of the worship of the devatas when done with devotion. Because generally, demigod worship is more like a business. I'm sorry to say this. Why? That is why at least one day in a week is made for them. Kam se kam Tuesday jaye. Chal Mangalwar. Shukrawar. Does any wife tell her husband, darling, I love you only on Tuesdays between 7 and 8 p.m. This is more like, okay, this is a business deal. I do this, 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 and you deal me this, this, this. The day you stop, I'll go to someone else because he gives quickly. You go 12 weeks and this gives in 8 weeks. This is more like a business deal. Therefore, this is also a proof that this is meant for people who are not focused on the personality but focused on the object of their interest. They're not interested in the person, they're interested in what he can provide. But still it is good. Something is better than nothing. So they are recommended to go at least once a week. And go there, no problem. But eventually, if we worship them and continue to express our gratitude, they give what you need. Say for example, I know one person. I don't want to name here. This lady, she's a devoted worshipper of Hanumanji. Every Saturday, come what may, she is there with Hanumanji offering. Especially in Bangalore, they have this 22 feet huge Hanuman. They offer garland of special, you know, vada type. And they offer that. She is there for years together. But then, generally, people go, and what do they ask for? They ask for something material. My dear Maruti, give me a Maruti. Good enough. At least you are asking the right person. But if you continue, even after you get your Maruti, you continue, then what are you doing? You are expressing gratitude. And she would chant Hanuman Chalisa every day. That is how I came to learn Hanuman Chalisa. And then, but if you continue to worship, if you see the worship, for example, I'll tell you, what should we pray to any of the devatas? Generally we pray, you know, give me this, give me this, give me this. But after you get it, our real prayer should be, you go to in front of any of the devatas, but you fold your hands and say, my dear Lord, I am fool number one. I just don't know what is good for me. So far I was harassing you with my demands. Pura menu card leke aata tha main. Today I am coming to you, I'm like a foolish child, I don't know what is good for me. You give me what you think is best for me. You pray like this and see, invariably all these great personalities will guide you to that Supreme Lord. I told this lady and she said yes. If you go to Hanuman and ask what you want, you'll get, he will give you what you want. But if you just go and pray like this, he will give you the devotion to Lord Ram. If you ask for something what you want, he will give you something which is like a piece of glass. But if you pray that I am fool number one, give me what you think is best, he gives you the jewel, a jewel of Ram Bhakti, which he himself has opened his heart and shown, this is what whom I worship in the core of my heart. Yatra yatra Raghunatha Kirtanam, tatra tatra Kritamastakanjalim, Vashtavari Paripurna Lochanam, Marutim Namata Rakshasam. Wherever, yatra yatra Raghunatha Kirtanam, wherever you chant the name of Lord Ram, tatra tatra Kritamastaka Anjalim, with folded hands touching his forehead, with tears rolling from his eyes, you don't have to go to Hanumanji. He will come and stand next to you and embrace you and bathe you with tears of his happiness. That today you received my real blessings. Because today you received what I really want to give. I really want to give you devotion to Lord Ram. So it is a fact. Anyone who continues the worship of any devatas, it can never go waste. It will not only give you what you want, not only give you faith in a higher power, but if continued with devotion and gratitude, invariably it has to lead you to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So don't think you are being unchaste to that particular demigod by worshipping, by coming to Krishna, or by coming to the Supreme Lord. In fact, you must know that it is the blessing and real benediction, boon of that personality that you have been able to come to understand the science of God. And third and the last question. What if I have material desires? You say that we should not ask for anything material. But sorry, I have so many desires. And artificially I can't say I have no desires. Arey, bahut sare list hai Maharaj mere paas. Abhi bahut sare cheeze chahiye mujhe. And if you say, if I go to Krishna, he may not give you anything. So will my material desires be fulfilled? In this regard, I'll tell you a small story. One time there was a king, and the king was in a very benevolent mood. He wanted to give some charity. He went to the village and announced, you know, Dindora Pitwana, what do you call it? He announced to the whole village that the king is coming, and anyone who asks anything, he will supply. And the king came along with the minister to write down. And the first man was a man who came. He said, "Dear king, I'm very poor. My daughter has to be married. Please give me some money." "Okay, sanction, 2 lakhs. Next he went to another house. He said, "Yes, dear king, the road in front of my house is very kacha. Please make it pakka because it is a rainy season. Chalo isko pakka road bana dena." Sanction. Another place, he said, "My house is, you know, completely shambles. Kindly construct a new house for me. Sanction karado." Mada house. Housing Development Authority. And lastly, one old man was standing at the end of the village. And the king said, "Yes, old man, ask me what you want." "Well, I don't want anything. I just want your friendship. Write down, I am his friend, your friend." And the king went away. And all the villagers started laughing at the old man. "Hey, budha satya gaya. Manga bhi to kya manga? Dosti manga. Dosti, kuch to mangna tha na, something substantial and tangible. 2 lakh bhi nahi mila, ghar bhi nahi mila, pakka road bhi nahi mila." He said, nahi, Raja mera dost hai." A month later, the king asked his minister, "So, what happened to my village visit?" Said, "Sir, house has been constructed, road has been finalized, you know, concretized, and 2 lakhs have been sanctioned." Said, "Anything else?" "Only one thing is left, your friend." "So, what am I to do?" "You should reciprocate your friendship." "All right," he said. "Next month I am going to visit him for a week." "You are going to visit him?" "Yeah, he's my friend, so I'll visit him for a week." As soon as the news reached that the king is going to visit this person for a week, a palatial building was built for him. Hundreds of servants were brought in, all furniture kept, 10 lakhs sanctioned to maintain all that, and an express highway was built from his house to the palace. And then all the villagers came. "Yaar, tu to bada hoshyar nikla. Tune ek hi cheez mein sab kuch mang liya." So the point that is communicated is, by worshipping the Supreme Lord, you are approaching the Supreme Loving Father. You don't have to foolishly ask, "Mere ko ye chahiye, wo chahiye." He knows better than you what you need. He may not give you what you want, which is why people don't approach him. But he will give you what you need. And when you get it, you realize, "I don't want anything else." Because the need completely satisfies you. Then the wants disappear. So, never should one ever have a doubt that by approaching the Supreme, we will ever become bereft of all access I could have got by approaching this person, that person. By watering the root of the tree, every part of the root tree is nourished. Yatha taror moola nishechanena trupyanti tatskanda. If you please the Supreme Lord, you please all the 33 crore devatas. Just as by watering the root of the tree, every part of the tree is nourished. Never should we ever entertain even a small doubt that by approaching the Supreme Lord, we have ever insulted any demigods, but rather pleased all the 33 crore devatas. Then there is another question. You're talking about Krishna, Krishna. Then there are some people say Ram is supreme. Some say Vishnu is supreme. Vishnu is a, Krishna is the 10th incarnation of Vishnu, and Vishnu is incarnation. Koi ek cheez bolo Maharaj, Vishnu bada, Ram, Vishnu, Krishna, right? How do we understand this? One time I was going for a program in Kurla. I got out of the station and took an auto rickshaw. And as the rickshaw wala was going, busy traffic, 7 o'clock evening traffic, and suddenly was driving and he said, Maharaj, ek prashna puchho kya? Can I ask you a question? I said, haan, puchho, puchho, bhai, but samne dekho. Dhakka mat marna. He said, Maharaj, Ram bada ki Sham bada? He asked me, who is greater? Ram is great or Krishna is great? Ram bada ki Sham bada? I said, sometimes I take 7 days to give this Gita course. Now, while driving in the middle of a traffic, in the peak of Mumbai, you know, traffic time, he is asking me such a technical question. How should I answer this fellow? And I was thinking, what should I answer? And suddenly, I was praying to the Lord to give me some good intelligence. And suddenly I saw in his auto rickshaw, so many stickers, full of stickers practically. And all the stickers were of Amitabh Bachchan. So I said, main aapse ek prashna puchu? Haan, puchu Maharaj. I said, Amar Akbar Anthony ka Anthony bada? Ya bade niya bada, ya don bada, ya sharabi bada, and I went on, you know, Amitabh Sahasranam. All the different names of Amitabh in different, because all his movies were there, available there. And for 10 seconds this fellow was driving, and suddenly he turned the vehicle to a corner and stopped it, and he turned around and said, Maharaj, samajh gaya, dono ek hi hai na? दोनों एक ही है, जो वही राम है वही श्याम है, धर्म संस्थापनार्थाय संभवामी युगे युगे, वही भगवान बार बार अवतार लेते हैं, दशावतार पूरा नाम है ना, आई जस्ट कैन नॉट टोल्ड हिम, ऐसे ही जैसे शराबी ऐसे आते हैं ना, वही है सब, आप ही के अमिताभ है. एंड देन व्हेन आई रीच द प्रोग्राम आई सेड, कितना हुआ? नहीं महाराज, मेरी ओर से. आज तक मैंने हजारों से ये प्रश्न पूछा, किसी ने ऐसा संतुष्ट होते वाला आंसर नहीं दिया. आज मुझे संतुष्ट हो गया, ऐसे चलो अच्छा हो गया. सो समटाइम्स वी हैव दिस क्वेश्चन, विष्णु इज ग्रेट, कृष्णा इज ग्रेट, राम इज ग्रेट, इट इज द सेम पर्सन, संभवामी युगे युगे, द सेम लॉर्ड. To reciprocate with different devotees in different wonderful ways, the same Lord, since time immemorial, again and again comes and performs such sweet, intimate and loving pastimes with his devotees. Just by hearing the loving reciprocation of the Lord and his devotees, your heart melts and you fall in love. And when you fall in love with Krishna, that is the ultimate perfection of life. There is no need for him to come and kill Ravan and Hiranyakashipu. He could have given them a heart attack from inside. What is the need to come and perform as if he doesn't know? Sita, where is Sita? He's asking, you know, every tree and every If he knows everything, he is the heart of every living entity. That means he is in the heart of Ravana also. Kya ye sab natak? This is a pastime that he does simply to attract the heart of all his children who have lost, who have left, to attract them, their heart, back to his own abode. He performs this beautiful, sweet, loving, intimate pastimes. That is the only reason. Killing the demons, establishing dharma, he can send his servants to do it. But only when he comes and lovingly reciprocates. Did he need Hanuman's help to get Sita back? Not necessary. But because devotees have a desire to serve, the Lord comes as if he is helpless. You know? And then when the devotees assist the Lord, he becomes very happy and he reciprocates. Laya sajivani lakhan jiyaye, Shri Raghubir harshi uralaye, Raghupati ki nahi bahut padhai, kaha bharat sam tum priya bhai, sahas vadana tum rovesh gaave, asakai sripati kantha laga. Lord Ram embraced Hanuman. He said, I am a vanavasi. I am nothing. I have left Ayodhya so many years back. And you have done so much service. You have risked your life, Hanuman, just to get information about my wife, my dear Sita. I can't pay you. The only thing I can do is to embrace you. And he bathed Hanuman with the tears of his love. That is Lord Ram. That is his reciprocation with his dear devotee Hanuman. And anyone who reads such loving reciprocations, why will he not fall in love with the Supreme Father who comes and eager to embrace any of us into his loving embrace? So that is the whole point why he does this. And finally, the last question. And that is Krishna immoral? Why did he dance with the gopis in the middle of the night? Kyun aisa kaam karke gaya? Abhi bolne ko takleef hota hai logon ko. In fact, it is so embarrassing to say, you worship Krishna? Krishna? That fellow who stole, chor, makhan chor, lusty fellow, who danced with other men's wives in the middle of the night, and then he tells you, behave yourself, huh? Behave nicely, be moral. What kind of a God is this? Ram, ekdam sida sada. Hey, tumhara Krishna, sab teda. Everything about him is crooked. How very difficult to accept him as God. So we'll discuss quickly. We have a quick slideshow. Can you have the lights? So we discussed, in essence, the question, who is God according to the scriptures, according to the conclusion of all the Vedic literatures, who is God? And according to the Bhagavad Gita, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the ultimate source of everything, the supreme controller, proprietor and enjoyer, is none other than the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Shri Krishna. How is it possible to accept this seemingly, apparently, a simple cowherd boy born in a village 5,000 years ago, 93 kilometers southeast of Delhi, in a village called Vrindavan, and he is the Supreme Lord, the cause of all causes? Very difficult to digest. The devatas are powerful personalities and they worship the Supreme. And this person is so, he is sitting in the embrace of his mother, so dependent. Sometimes Krishna would run out and a loud thunderclap, and Krishna would come and embrace his mother out of fear. Mom, please take me in your arms. I'm scared. And he's supposed to be the Supreme Lord. The devotees of the Lord are fearless. And your Lord is so fearful of a thunderclap. How can we understand Him as the Supreme? The devotees of the Lord are men of integrity. And their Supreme Lord, worshipable Lord, is a thief. Suppose you invite some minister for a very big program and say, ye hamare mahashay aaye hain, ye bade chor hain. It may be true, but that's not way you introduce. But here is the Supreme Lord and he's called Makhan Chor. Can you imagine? He's a chor. Chori kya? Very difficult to accept him and worship him. All that is okay, but this is too much. How could he claim to be very moral and straightforward, dance with other men's wives in the middle of the night, and then with a very, very straight face say, live a very moral life, live a very spiritual life, surrender unto me. Very difficult to digest. Therefore, in the 4th chapter, 9th verse, Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tattvataha tyatva deham punat janmaneti mameti sojjun. Arjun, one who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and my activities, in truth, in essence, upon giving up this body, doesn't have to take birth in this material world, but comes to my abode. So the Lord comes simply to perform inhuman or very, very, extraordinary attractive activities, simply to attract the hearts of all the living entities who have gone away from Him in ignorance. The Lord appeared, His birth was transcendental. Even before He appeared, He actually didn't appear through the womb. He appeared outside in the prison house of Kamsa with His four-handed form, Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. And He informed His so-called parents. Of course, He is the Supreme Father. But lovingly, He accepts devotees as His parents simply to reciprocate with them in Vatsalya Priyam. You love as friend, you love as parents, you love as lovers. So He reciprocated various ways with various devotees. And He reminded them that you worship me 3 lifetimes ago and you prayed, performed thousands of years of austerity. When I appeared, you prayed that I should become your son. But no one can be equal to me. Therefore, I myself appeared as your son. And reminding him, then he transformed himself into his original form of baby, little Bal Gopal. But just to prove that he was not an ordinary person, just when he was a child of just 3 months, a huge demoness called Putana, who was a Rakshasi sent by Kamsa, disguised herself as a very sweet, loving mother, anointed her breast with very, very deadly poison, and she wanted to kill Krishna. Krishna effortlessly not only sucked the poison, sucked the milk, but sucked the very life out of Putana. And then she assumed her original form, which was 8 miles long, and tried to, with all her energy, throw Krishna off. But little Krishna, child, very small baby, with all her strength, she could not even dislodge him from her body. And eventually she collapsed and died. Krishna didn't have to go to the gym and develop his muscles. Even when he was just below 1 year old, another demon called Trinavarta came. These were all mystic, powerful personalities, demons. He assumed the form of a tornado and carried Krishna high above in the air, wanting to throw him down, kill him. But the same Lord, in the same body of a child, assumed such heavy weight with the same body. He didn't grow up. He was the same size of a child, but he assumed the heaviness of a Himalayan mountain, and under the weight of that, this demon fell down and got crushed. Another time there was a forest fire, and Krishna asked his friends to close his mouth and close their eyes and just suck the fire into his mouth and just put out the fire. Another time, sometimes people say, you know, so many people claim themselves to be avatars. Every gully there is an avatar in today's day and age. If anyone tells you that he is an avatar of Krishna, please ask him to open his mouth. When the Lord opened his mouth, within his tiny little mouth, Mother Yashoda could see the whole cosmic manifestation. In fact, she saw herself within, looking into the mouth of Krishna, in the mouth of Krishna. Now, if somebody can show this, then you surrender to him. But the so-called avatars, when they open their mouth, other than the bad breath and some broken teeth, if you can see something else, then you know. Otherwise, you realize that they are, you know, cheating. So many cheaters, unfortunately, in the name of God. Bhagavan means opulence of six types. One of them is knowledge. Krishna spoke the Gita offhand just for 1.5 hours. And thousands of years later, the best brains of this planet, the purified souls, are yet to understand the depth and expanse of knowledge contained within the 700 verses. The Lord, just to prove that He is not an ordinary person like you and me, on the request of Arjun, showed His universal form. The whole cosmic manifestation is not different from His body. He showed how He is pervading through His energy. So yes, this is the difference between all the powerful demigods, the personalities, as regards the Supreme Lord. There are so many beautiful pastimes Krishna did while He humbled the powerful demigods who mistook Krishna to be an ordinary talkative boy and tried to harass His devotees in Vrindavan. One such demigod was Indra. He showered rains for 7 days and 7 nights. Powerful tornado and heavy storm. Krishna effortlessly, in the little finger of His left hand, when He was 7-year-old boy, lifted the Govardhan Hill for 7 days and 7 nights, held it constantly, and gave shelter to all His devotees. Eventually, Indra came and surrendered and said, "My Lord, please forgive me. Today I declare you are the real Indra. You are the real controller of everything that exists. I am simply your menial, humble servant." Brahma, the first created being, even he got confused when he saw Krishna killing a powerful demon called Aghasura. And wanting to test Brahma, came when Krishna was playing along with his cowherd boys and stole away all his calves and hid them in the jungle, in the cave. And as Krishna went to look for the calves, he stole all the cowherd boys. And when Krishna came back, he saw that neither the calves are there nor the cowherd boys are there. So he got completely bewildered. And 1 year later, when Brahma came back just to see what kind of chaos he had caused, he saw that all the calves and cows are still there. Then he wondered, "Are, what about the ones that I have hidden?" He went to that mountain cave and he saw all the children are sleeping there. When he came back, he saw the children playing here. He was confused. He is the ultimate creator of this material world. And he got confused. Is this boy the real, or that is duplicate, or that is duplicate and this is real, or both are real and my head is duplicating? What is happening? He got extremely bewildered. And at that time, Krishna exhibited that all the cowherd boys and all the calves transformed into the four-handed form of Vishnu, who is the worshipable Lord of Lord Brahma. And then Brahma, understanding, fell at this feet of this little boy and he said, "My Lord, people may claim that I know Krishna." Sometimes Indians say that, "I know Krishna, oh, na, oh Krishna, oh Vrindavan wala." But Lord Brahma said, "My Lord, today I realize I know that I don't know you. I'm beginning to know that I can never know you unless you shower your mercy. The unlimited can never be known by the limited, but he can be known by the limited when the unlimited wants to reveal himself through his unlimited mercy." That is the beautiful pastime through which even this powerful personality like Lord Brahma, the creator of this universe, got humbled and accepted Krishna's supremacy. Lord Shiva, Mahadev, the greatest of all the devatas, that's why he's called Mahadev. He is actually one of the avatars of Krishna. He's not an ordinary demigod. His position is very unique. His position is even beyond Brahma. If Supreme Lord is like milk, Shiva is like curd. A curd comes from milk, but it is non-different from milk. It is a particular transformation of milk. Similarly, Lord Shiva is an expansion of the Lord for the purpose of destruction. Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, supreme manifestation of these powerful personalities within this universe, are called Gunavatars, Sattva, Raja and Tamo Gunavatars. So Lord Shiva has a unique position as Mahadev. He has two aspects. One aspect as a demigod and another aspect as the greatest devotee of the Lord. Once Parvati asked Lord Shiva, "My dear Lord, I always see you deep in meditation. Whom are you meditating on?" In the Padma Puran, this quotation is there of Lord Shiva. "Shri Rama Rama Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasranama Matulyam Rama Nama Varanane." O Varanane, O beautiful face Parvati. Shri Rama 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 Iti Rame Rame Manorame. I always, Raman, I Raman karta hu Ram ke naam mein. Huh? In the Hanuman Chalisa also, it is very beautifully described. Shankara Suvana Kesari Nandana Teja Pratapa Mahani. Actually, it is Rudra's expansion. Lord Shiva expanded as Lord, as Hanumanji, to take this opportunity to serve Lord Ram. And Vishnu is non-different from Krishna. Vishnu is Krishna in his office. And Krishna, or Vishnu, is God in his office. And Krishna is God at his home. When you meet a man in his office, if you go to a high court judge, and when he's sitting on the bench in the high court, people refer to him as "Your Honor," "My Lord." But when the same high court judge goes home and tells his wife, "Your Honor, is the food ready?" He's the same high court judge. But at home, there is no awe and reverence. There is intimacy. There is love. But when the same high court judge is in his office, he's in a judge in a very formal dress and with some, you know, with a hammer in his hand, and everyone is looking up to him. Similarly, when God comes to run the affairs of the universe, then he is like four-handed, Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. That is Vishnu, God in his office. Even Lakshmi is massaging his feet. But when the same Lord is at his home in Vrindavan, then he massages the feet of Radharani. She becomes very angry, Manlila. Sometimes Krishna comes little late. Sometimes in the Bollywood also we see, he Hero comes late and heroine turns her head. She's very angry. He says, "Arey," and he tries to pacify. He is the Supreme Lord, acting as an ordinary henpecked husband, trying to pacify, trying to please. That is Lord in his intimate association with his devotees. So it is the same Lord in different moods, in different places, with different relationships, to reciprocate in different ways with his different devotees. So yes, there are so many avatars, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge, but the original source of all of them is the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Shri Krishna. It is described, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matta Sarvam, Ete Chamshakalapam Sah Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Vridayanti Yuge Yuge. It is he only who comes in various forms to establish religious principles, annihilate the miscreants, and to protect the pious. Then why does Krishna does all these nonsensical activities, which confuses people? Really, Krishna does this simply to attract the hearts of his intimate loving devotees. Sometimes Krishna would steal the butter and saying that the butter is not at all tasty, would throw it to the monkeys. Sometimes he would get caught, Mother Yashoda would come from behind, or some of the gopis sometimes go and steal from the houses of other gopis, and the gopis would catch him, right, red-handed, and they catch him and say, "Today I am going to take you to Mother Yashoda," and they would bring her in front of Yashoda. And Yashoda had 9 lakh cows. There was no dearth of milk in her home. There was no dearth of butter in her house. Why would Krishna go and steal? The ladies would bring Krishna and complain to Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda would say, "Okay, I'm going to bind you." And she would try to bind Krishna. And all the gopis would say, "No, no, no, Yashoda, please don't do it." And then Yashoda would say, "Then why are you complaining? First of all, you complain. And then when I try to punish him, you say, don't punish him." And then actually the gopis reveal their heart. "My dear Yashoda, we need some excuse to speak about Krishna. In fact, we make the butter only so that Krishna can come and steal it. The perfection of our making of butter is if Krishna steals it. Otherwise, to hell with the butter. The butter is bitter for us if Krishna doesn't steal it." And by stealing the butter, Krishna would actually steal the hearts of the gopis by such innocent look, and in this way he would attract their hearts. And through these beautiful pastimes, attract the hearts of all the living entities. So Krishna reciprocates in so many wonderful relationships as a master, as a friend, as the father, as the son, or as the ultimate lover. It doesn't matter. However you want to reciprocate with him, if you approach as a servant, he is the best master. If you approach as a friend, he is the best friend. A friend in need is a friend indeed. And when are you most in need? At the time of death. No one can help you, but the Lord can help. The remembrance of the Lord can help you. If you want to approach him as a lover, he is the best lover. Never rejects. And in this way, the science of God is fully revealed in the Bhagavad Gita. Thank you very much. Could we have the lights on? I'm sorry, I think I have extended 17 minutes extra. But I thought that the subject matter is so important, because this question, you know, especially in India, God and, you know, Bhagavan and Devatas, God and demigod, is such an issue. So I thought I should actually speak about. I'm sure some of you may have some questions. Could we take a couple of them? Yeah, we'll take just 2 questions. And if more, yeah. The mic will come.
Sorry, Pranam. Swamiji, why the Supreme Lord Krishna is a male and not a female?
Very good point. If you see the picture behind, it is Radha Krishna. We worship Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan, and Radha Krishna. And interestingly, we always quote the energy first before the energetic. We approach Krishna through Radha. We approach Narayan through Lakshmi. We never say Narayan Lakshmi. We say Lakshmi Narayan. We say Sitaram. We say Radha Krishna. Actually, Mother God and Father God, they are one in one sense. There is a male aspect and there is a female aspect. The male aspect is about justice, punishment, and the female aspect is about mercy. So Radha Krishna are actually one. Just like the sun and the sun rays cannot be separated, Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi and Narayan, Sita and Ram cannot be separated. The energy and the energetic, the Shakti and the Shaktiman can never be separated. So the complete understanding of God is Radha and Krishna. So yes, that aspect is also there. The complete aspect of femininity is there within God, in the form of His eternal consort. Yes, one last question.
Swamiji, Hare Krishna, my question to you is Sankhya also derived from Bhagavad Gita, the concepts of Prakriti and Purusha and the three gunas?
Yeah, it's there.
So they come from the Bhagavad Gita, from Vedas?
No. It is, Krishna describes, Krishna, it says, Vedaischa Sarvair, in the 15th chapter, 15th verse, Krishna says, Vedanta Krit Veda Videvacha. His breath is the Vedas. His own breath. And therefore, when he descends and when he speaks, otherwise, why would Gita be so famous? Because Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. It is the same Lord who gave the Vedas in the beginning of creation, again speaking to Arjun in a summary.
Where does Sankhya fit into this? The Prakriti and the Purusha?
That is there in the 13th chapter. Whole of 13th chapter is Prakriti and Purusha. The whole description is there.
We're going to talk about the gunas, as you said, day after that.
Yeah. We'll be discussing about this on the
Sattva Rajas Tamas.
Day after tomorrow. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. That is the analytical study. Sankhya is the analytical study of universe, and Bhakti is the holistic study. Yeah. Thank you. So I'm sorry for a little delay today. I assure you, tomorrow we will finish 15 minutes in advance, and we will leave a lot of scope for question answers. Thank you.